Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, I hope you have had a fantastic week. On this episode of Miles Away, we're going to take you through how to book a ski trip at several resorts in North America. This is your host, Zach Honig, and whether you're looking to head out west to Colorado and Utah with your friends, or take the family to Vermont, this episode explores when to book, hotel options, and getting there on points and miles. So TPG family is joining me on this episode of Miles Away. We've got Summer Hull, also known as Mommy Points.
Always and forever.
Always and forever. Summer joined us a few months back to head up our TPG family efforts. And I've been reading Mommy Points for a very long time. Mommy Points was actually my go-to Points and Miles blog before TPG.
That's so amazing. You're the OG reader.
The OG reader. I can't even remember when I started reading. When did you launch the blog?
I think I launched it in 2011.
Okay, I've definitely been reading since 2011,
oh,
so very early on.
Happy days. Yeah, no, Mommy Points forever. Got a little bit of a different name we use at TPG Family, but still Mommy Points on social, so we're calling it good.
Very cool. And we have Kathleen Christensen, who is a TPG contributor, joining us from London.
Hello.
How is London this time of year, Kathleen?
Nice and rainy and dark.
Nice and rainy
but
and dark.
But lots of Christmas lights.
Do we get some snow in the winter?
There was a lot of snow last year, actually.
Okay. Any ski resorts just in the London area? Or
not in London area, but there are in Scotland.
So do you come to the U.S. to ski in general, or where's your go-to?
So go-to is usually within Europe, so kind of Italy and France. But if you want the big family North American ski experience, you have to come over.
And I have to say, I'm not picking up on a heavy U.K. accent.
Yeah, I am originally from Maine.
Oh, so. Maine. Okay, and there are some ski resorts in Maine.
Yes, very family-friendly. Sugarloaf and Sunday River, that's where I grew up skiing every Wednesday after school.
All right, so Sugarloaf I've heard of before. There are a lot of people that come from out of state to ski Sugarloaf.
Yeah, and it's actually something, because it's so family-friendly, they do a lot of deals from the UK. So I actually meet a lot of people in London who have flown over to ski in Maine, which seems
so
a little
funny.
Crazy.
Are there flights to Portland, Maine, or how do they get there?
So to Boston.
Okay.
And then you can either take a bus up or you just rent a car. It's a four-hour drive, and people usually break it up with a stay in Portland, Maine.
I'm sure the skiing is great in Sugarloaf, but I'm going to have to introduce those folks to Zermatt because I think that there's some pretty incredible resorts right in their backyard.
Zach, yeah. You should be like the ambassador for Zermatt.
I think I should. Oh, I had one of their bumper stickers. I didn't even have a car. I think I put them all over my like filing cabinets in college.
So for someone that doesn't know, where is Zermatt, Zach?
Zermatt is about 4 hours by train from Zurich or Geneva, so you can fly into either of those two airports. It's in Switzerland on the Italian border in the Alps, so you can actually ski down into Cervinia, Italy. So you stay in Switzerland, you have your breakfast and dinner in Switzerland, and then you can have lunch in Italy. You actually ski down the other side of the mountain and you're in Cervinia. And
how fancy.
The craziest thing.
Love.
I have to say. And
amazing.
Then fondue dinner over in Switzerland. But speaking of fondue dinners, have you come across any at your favorite resort in the U.S.?
Yeah, so we love going to Keystone, which I'm sure we'll dig into. And when you take when you're at Keystone, you can take the gondolas all the way up at night, and they have a fondue place at the very top.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is a lot of fun. And if you've never been to fondue in Zermatt or wherever, then it's just as good as the real deal.
I had some fantastic fondue at Igludorf.
I'm sure you did.
But I actually did that. I went up in a snowcat once in Whistler, which is another favorite, I would say, in North America. And it took about an hour, I feel like, to get up the mountain in that snowcat at night. But we had an amazing fondue dinner all the way up at the top of the mountain with an incredible view of Whistler just down
I'm
below.
I'm a huge fan of those, like, really unique, fun dinners you can have on ski mountains that you're not going to have anywhere else, at least not anywhere else in North America.
Yeah, there's one in Vail at the top. You could take the gondola up at night, and then you take a snowcat. It's called Game Creek. It's
amazing. Oh, wow. Okay, Game Creek. I'm literally writing that down.
Yes, he is. I have to add, yesterday we were chatting, getting ready for this, and Zach was saying, you know, he lives obviously in the New York area, and that he would just as rather just go ahead and fly over and ski at Zermatt as heading to Colorado, saying it's almost as easy.
All right, that might have been a stretch. I was comparing it to Whistler, I think.
Okay. It was comparing to Whistler, but yeah, no, I got to try that. If you live East Coast, maybe that is worth a try. If you live, you know, kind of where I do in Texas and further west, then maybe we'll hit Colorado and Whistler.
We will definitely do a Zermatt episode at some point.
I have no doubt.
I want to focus on North America now, as much as I want to talk about Zermatt.
As fancy as it sounds.
Minutes. Yes. So, Summer, what besides Keystone, and I know we mentioned Whistler briefly, what are your go-tos?
So it's kind of like picking a favorite kid. I don't have a favorite mountain. I have different mountains I love for different things, and I think Keystone is a great all-around family mountain and affordable in a lot of different ways. I do also love Whistler if you want, like, almost pretty much guaranteed good snow for a lot of months out of the year. And the way that the dollar's been against the Canadian dollar, it's not been nearly as expensive as skiing in Colorado. I mean, at all. So Whistler has been a family favorite of ours. And then heading to Utah. And we've skied recently at Canyons and Park City. Those have been other favorites of ours.
Have you been to Sugarloaf or any of these fantastic ski resorts on the East Coast?
You know, I lived in New York for a few years in grad school. And so I have skied some East Coast things. I have not skied at Sugarloaf. But, you know, where I live now in Texas, we don't really make it up to the East Coast to ski.
That makes sense.
But forgiven. I have skied at some East Coast resorts. And it is kind of fun. It's a very different experience. But it's still a fun experience.
And Kathleen, so what are your go-to resorts? I know you mentioned Vail, but let's talk East Coast a little bit, because it's probably an area that a lot of TPG readers and listeners are not all that familiar with.
Yeah, because there's also Killington in Vermont, which is probably the most famous. I mean, I will always kind of pay homage to Maine, because that's where I'm from. But kind of what I love about Sugarloaf is that you can just kind of drive up, and there's a ski school and daycare that you don't have to pre-book.
On the mountain.
On the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
So you drop them off.
So the older
days.
Kids.
No pre-booking? I can't even understand this. Because yeah. In Colorado, at the major resorts, you have to, like, book forever
months,
in advance.
Exactly.
Or just good luck to you.
No pre-booking is great, because if your kid is just not feeling it that day, I guess, you're no pressure.
Yeah. No, that's amazing.
Yeah, and we usually stay locally, either on the mountain, but you can also stay locally in Airbnbs that are even people's summer residences on lakes, and they're just a little bit further away. There's always parking there.
Have you ventured up to Canada at all? I mean, you're not too far from the border.
No, I really do want to try going up for, I mean, I have been to Canada, but not for skiing. There was definitely talk about it when we were 18. And
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
But no, just because it's you can usually get a pass that's either Sunday River or Sugarloaf.
Okay,
kind
so
of growing
those
up we would
for
just,
the season.
Yeah.
Then. So I really want to try going to, you know, with Hyatt acquiring Two Roads Hospitality and getting a lot of different hotels coming under their wing. I really want to try Stowe, even though everyone says that's silly when you're used to Colorado. I don't care. I want to go to Vermont and stay at the Stowe Mountain Lodge once it's under the Hyatt flag and we can use some Hyatt points.
Very cool. It makes a lot of sense. I mean, especially when you can use points. And we'll dig into points and miles a little bit more in the second segment. But I do want to touch on one of my favorite East Coast resorts, probably my absolute favorite East Coast resort. And I mean, compared to the West, that's not saying all that much, but it's Tremblant. I think that's how you pronounce it.
That's right.
Spelled Tremblant, and it's in Quebec. It is about an hour and a half drive north of Montreal. So you can either fly into Montreal, which is Y-U-L, or you can fly into the Mont-Tremblant Airport, and that's actually an hour drive away from the resort. So my preference is to fly nonstop to Montreal. You can get really cheap flights from the New York area. It's about a 40-minute flight. It's very easy to go up there for a long weekend. And, I mean, it's such a cool environment. It's just, it reminds me a little bit of Zermatt.
I was going to say, I bet it has a European feel.
It has a European feel to it for sure. And so I remember everything is French. They were French speaking. And I've been going for years. And my favorite bakery was called Crème de la Crème. Mm. And I actually learned a little bit of French so that I could order a cookie and then a different variety of cookie and then variety of cookie. So that was my first exposure to French culture, shall we say.
Yes. And so if you do go there, there's a Westin if you want to go and stay on points. That's been on our list to do for a while. Hopefully in the next year or so we'll make it.
So as far as picking a hotel chain to stick with, I mean, it seems like there's a lot of Marriott options these days, especially after the Starwood acquisition.
Yeah. I mean, they're massive, right? So they have a lot of hotels just by the nature of being massive. But they do, you know, even before the merger, I think Starwood was a crown jewel of ski resort locations. And so now when you combine that with what Marriott also had, I think that they are probably the best. If you like to stay on or near the mountains, they're not the only option. Hyatt has some great ones as well. Hilton has some. But yeah, I think Starwood and Marriott, especially combined, have the most near or on mountain options.
So when you're planning a trip for your family, do you go hotel first and redemption option first, or do you pick a destination and then kind of just figure it out?
Well, I'm formerly known as Mommy Points, right? So the points do come high on my list. And you know, and I have kids, and so I want to stay where it's going to be convenient, and if we need to bail out for a nap, that's right there on the mountain. And so for me, I think that the places that have on-mountain hotels I can book with points have been the ones that we have gone after mostly in the last few years.
So you do a mix of trips. You do quite a few trips each year skiing. How many do you have planned this year or hoping to have planned?
We have two actually booked, but I did buy an Epic Local Pass this year. It's the second year I bought a ski pass in a row. And what I love about it is it keeps your per day cost lower, but it also encourages you to just go ahead and book that trip. I mean, last year, I think I had taken two trips on my pass and it came up an opportunity to meet a friend in Keystone. And I did it because it wasn't going to cost any more to ski. I had the hotel points and, you know, just book a flight to Denver and there we were. And I don't know that I would have jumped on that opportunity if I didn't have a pass. So I like that it encourages me to just make it work and spend some time out on the mountains.
Yeah, especially when you're looking at over $100 a day.
Exactly. Yeah, and when you already have it, and you know, with the Epic Local Pass, there's a few days you can't ski that are blacked out, but it's a very small number, and otherwise you can ski as much as you want at a whole bunch of different mountains. And so, yeah, it encourages you to just do it. So I have two booked, and I hope to do a kind of spur-of-the-moment third this year.
So how did the logistics work, you know, from a family trip versus a friend's trip or a couple's trip? I mean, there are so many different options when it comes to skiing, but
yeah.
I love my dad actually has some young kids. I don't know if we've even talked about this yet, but I love skiing with them. It's a ton of fun, but we're skiing greens the whole time. I mean, it's a very different experience.
Yeah, it really is. My oldest daughter, she's 8 now, and last year was her first year that we could actually ski together. I blew my knee trying to teach her when she was 4.
Was just skiing backwards down the mountain?
It was like, I think we were even stopped. We were just a full stop on the greenest green run in the whole wide world.
And magic carpet ride.
Yeah, and our skis just got, you know, mixed up, and she just started heading the wrong direction down the mountain, and my knee went with her. And so, I mean, we'd done ski school, but I was just trying not to that day because it gets really expensive. Well, the knee was more
unlike
expensive.
Unlike the knee.
The knee was more surgery. Expensive. But anyway, yeah, it's really different. But now that she has hit 8 years old, we are able to ski some greens and even started some blues last year. And so that was a game changer. Real, a lot of fun.
Yeah, and my husband's European, so he's really taught me a different way of looking at a ski vacation in that you look at the whole experience. Because I grew up seeing how many runs I could get in a day.
The American way.
The American way. Top to bottom. We're not
it's
stopping.
Like that crazy trip to Disney World.
How many rides can we do, ready, set, go?
And when he skied the first time with my brother and I, and he was just like, do you guys even stop for coffee? Do you stop for lunch? We're like, no, we have bars in our bag. Like, we're ready to go.
Water. What's that water backpack called?
Yeah. The Camelback.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Camelback sure. At Camelback.
It's frozen, but it will heat up against my back.
My God.
So kind of really now I'm looking at what else is on offer in either the little village or in the area, because we might want to do a day of snowshoeing. And so it also breaks up the cost.
Mm-hmm.
Or a day of Nordic mm-hmm. skiing. And you know, something where we're pulling the kids, and so it's actually a great workout. And mm-hmm. then they also aren't on skis because that kind of takes a very particular type of patience.
And there's tubing and ice skating and other activities.
Oh, yeah. Dog sledding, I found to be a tremendous activity with kids who are like 3, 4. you know, maybe they're not ready for a full day on skis yet all the time, but they are always ready to be packed into a dog sled. That's been a super fun activity. Not cheap, but super fun.
So skiing, I mean, unless you're going spring skiing, it can be pretty cold outside. You're going to spend a fair amount of time probably in the lodge or in your hotel. And I want to dig into the hotel options quite a bit. But first, we have to take a quick break. So when we come back, we are digging into your favorite hotels at the top resorts in North America.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
So we are back on Miles Away talking winter ski destinations and skiing with families and friends and couples with Kathleen Christensen, who's visiting us from London.
Hello.
And Summer Hall of Mommy Points.
Who's visiting Howdy from Texas.
Howdy from Texas. Texas is actually somewhere where I would consider heading in the winter. It's a lot more pleasant than in August, I'd have to say.
Oh, it's so brutal in August. Yeah, yeah. In the winter, we have cold days. It's actually already snowed this year, which is bizarre for Houston.
Oh, my God. I had no idea.
It snowed in, like, October.
I missed that entirely.
It was crazy. But, yeah, usually we're fine in the winter. Bring a light coat. You'll be good.
So we just rounded out one of the biggest ski weeks of the year, which is Christmas week. A lot of people travel during Christmas. Obviously. I mean, that's probably the most expensive time to travel. But if you do really want to travel somewhere to ski over Christmas week, how far in advance should you plan?
You should start booking 2020 now, like literally, if that's the week you want. If you want the week between Christmas and New Year's, at some hotels, you're just never going to get it on points. They're going to find ways to play with it, and it's never going to be available. But if you're booking as soon as the window opens, which is about a year in advance with most programs, with Hyatt, it's just a tick even longer than that. You can sometimes grab it, but you really, if you want that week in particular, you need to be booking your hotel on points a year in advance. No joke.
So that's for the big resorts like Vail and Park City in Utah.
Yeah, I mean, it is. If you're willing to stay a little bit further away from the mountain, you probably don't have to be as obsessive with it. But even still, that is just, that's their money-making week. And if you want to not be spending your money, then you've got to jump on it as far in advance as possible.
And Kathleen, how does it work in the Northeast? I mean, is it a little bit easier? Can you plan a month or two out?
It is a bit easier. I mean, the school vacation weeks, the week, December is also not the best skiing in the Northeast. So
we need a little
bit
more snow than that.
We need a bit more snow. I mean, we'll start snowmaking in August if we can, but it's... So you can actually get a lot of good deals kind of even in the run-up to Christmas. And for doing that week, or I had friends that were skiing over Thanksgiving this year because we just happened to get hit early, like here in New York. So I think you can wait a little bit, but it depends. If you want those mega weeks, you always have to start planning it early.
I mean, when it comes to friend trips and couples, you have a little more flexibility because you're not tied to the school year. But if you're planning for a family...
Yeah.
How far out do you plan for President's Week, for example, or any other time that you can travel?
I mean, it's honestly the same answer. When you're locked into the school schedule in those really peak weekends or weeks, if you can book a year in advance or however long the hotel will let you, like I said, with Hyatt, you have a little more than a year, then do it. You can usually cancel until closer in. Now, I'll warn you, at ski resorts, they aren't stupid, and they make the cancellation windows really long because they don't want you bailing on them if it's not a good snow year. So your cancellation window may be 30 days or 60 days, but it's not a year usually. So you can usually lock something in and then play with your schedule. But we skied last New Year's. We were at Whistler, and we booked that one, I think, 18 months in advance when Star would let you. Now it's closer to a year. But it wasn't just the hotel we had to book far in advance. It was also the childcare, because last year my youngest wasn't old enough to ski, and so she had to be in their nursery program. And they only take like a handful of kids in this program each day. And so if you didn't book it months in advance, you weren't getting in. And if you didn't get in, what were you going to do with your 2-year-old all day? So there's a lot of logistics at play on those peak weeks for families. So just plan it early and then you can relax and have fun.
So what are you planning for 2020 at this point?
Ooh, that's a good question. I keep putting off snowmass. I've been, but I haven't been in a long time. So I'm thinking that next year will be when we make it to Aspen. But that influences everything when you want to get ski passes, because you don't want to be skiing at different families of resorts in a year unless you just, you know, you're a rich baller. Otherwise, if you get a ski pass, you want to make sure that you're skiing at a lot of different mountains on that pass. And so Aspen is on the Icon Pass and not the Epic Pass. So we're having an epic year this year, but maybe ski season 2020 will be some icon resorts like Aspen.
Iconic, if you will.
It will be iconic instead of epic.
Do those passes cover peak dates? So, I mean, if you're traveling over Christmas or President's Weekend or...
It depends. There's different levels of passes within each family. So there is, a version of the Icon Pass that'll let you ski all those days, and there's a version that won't, and same in the Epic family. So you do need to not only know your mountains, but you need to know if you're going on those super, super peak days or not.
Kathleen, are these passes uniquely North American? Is it something that you see in Europe at all? Or?
No, in Europe, it is more... Well, first of all, it's just less expensive to ski.
So true.
Which is surprising. I mean, you'd expect
Let's
Europe
just start
to
with
be,
that. Yeah. And then you can get a multiple day. But usually you don't get a season-long pass. There might be some local deals, like within France or within Italy. But if you're going over... But you can often get it tied in with a rental or with accommodation, or they'll give away ski passes like just very easily because they're
so
relatively
like Six Flags, if you bring a can of Coke, you get 50% off.
Basically.
It kind of is. I don't have a lot of Europe ski experience at this point, but we did go to Norway a few years ago to ski. And, Norway is expensive. Like, you're used to things costing a lot in Norway.
It's like 7-Eleven is real. Like, a meal at 7-Eleven is the cheapest you can get.
Yeah. So, a hot dog at 7-Eleven is $10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I was shocked when we were in Norway skiing and a lift ticket. I mean, don't quote me, but I feel like it was like 40 or 50 U.S. dollars a day at one of their big resorts, which, isn't cheap. But it's 200 if you do a walk-up rate in the U.S. And so paying 40-something dollars in Norway... Like, this is crazy, but you're right. It's just a more affordable activity over there in general than it is at these mega resorts in the U.S.
So it's a little bit late, I think, to get some of these ski passes for North America at this point.
It is for this ski season, but, they usually start selling them for next year as the ski season starts wrapping up. And it depends, but sometimes I've even seen them offer some spring skiing for the current season on next year's pass. So it just depends. But, by the time April rolls around, for sure they will have the passes on sale for next year. And that's the cheapest time to buy them. You get more perks and a cheaper price the earlier you buy.
So why are you going Icon next year instead of Epic?
Well, I'm not sold on it yet, but I do really want to go to Aspen and stay at the Weston Snowmass right on the mountain. They have a phenomenal ski school program with a really cool indoor-outdoor program for the little ones, which I think that my youngest daughter will be a perfect age for. So, again, the points do kind of influence our decisions, and the Weston Snowmass is only 35,000 Marriott points a night currently, and you can use one of those awards from a lot of the different SPG and Marriott credit cards. So,
if you have points, you can do a ski trip somewhat affordably, especially if you use miles for the flight.
Yeah.
If you find saver availability.
Yeah.
But if not, is the East Coast somewhere that you want to look towards, or Canada? I mean, where are you going to find an excellent value or a ski trip on a budget?
The smaller resorts. That's the honest answer. I mean, for example, like A-Basin and Loveland outside of Denver. I mean, well outside of Denver. But you could fly into Denver, and you can ski at those resorts and buy their four packs of tickets. And you're paying, $40 or $50 a day then, or less maybe, depending on what kind of deal you get, which is amazing compared to what it's going to cost you to ski at Breckenridge right down the road. So my parents, they ski in Utah or even outside of Vegas a lot of years.
Oh, wow.
And
what's the resort outside of Vegas?
I forget what it's called. Mount Charleston is kind of popping. It might be that. And then they ski at Bryan Head in Utah. And they'll spend, they're seniors, but their tickets are like $25 a day. And so they're going with us to Breckenridge this year, and they cannot get over what it costs. I mean, like, they almost don't want to go because for one day of skiing at Breckenridge, they can ski for many days at one of these smaller resorts. So don't tell them, but that's their gift this year is tickets to Breckenridge. But
pretty nice gift. I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, target the smaller resorts because you can get lift tickets for, $30, $40 a day.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that we've done, even with going to the mega, the large resorts, because we stayed at the Marriott Vail, but they have the extra fees. It's $50 a day resort fee.
Oh,
the resort fee.
And $60 a day valet.
Oh, gosh.
What? In addition to the resort fee?
Yeah.
That's insane.
So we took the bus, the Mountain Explorer, from the airport.
Okay.
So you kind of use points to get to Denver. Mm-hmm. No car. Definitely not paying $60 a day to park
a car. What
did
they say the resort fee includes?
So that includes the ski valet.
The ski valet.
Which
someone that walks your skis to the lift for you, and then they...
And your kids' skis.
Mm-hmm, brush the snow off.
Yeah, so you have to have your fives at the ready.
Yeah.
Okay.
But so it includes that. It's a resort, a Marriott resort, so even with status, there's no breakfast. So we're kind of stashing lots of bars.
This is where Hyatt kicks Marriott's tail. Because if you're using points, you won't be paying those resort fees, which, just like what you're saying, like at the Park Hyatt Beaver Creek, it's at least $50 a day for their resort fee if you're paying cash. But zero if you're staying on points.
No, I mean, even in Denver, I could look. I haven't recently, but, I mean, it might even be effective to take an Uber from the airport to one of these ski resorts.
I don't know if it is from Denver, but it absolutely is in Salt Lake. In Salt Lake City, you can take an Uber from the airport to a variety of area mountains for, like, $35 or $40.
How does that work with kids, though? Because you need car seats, right? Can you bring your own car seats, or do you need to get some special Uber that has car seats?
I've done it a lot of ways, but I will often travel with my own car seat to some of these places.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, there is such thing as Uber Family, but not every city has that. I mean, let's face it. When you are flying on a ski trip with little kids, you're going to look like a donkey no matter what.
Yeah.
So what's one more piece of donkey luggage?
What kind of stuff are you bringing? I mean, you're checking some bags with your winter clothes, obviously. Do you bring your own skis and boots and helmets and...
So helmets, yes. We do bring helmets. We do bring a lot of gear. Oh, my God. We looked like we were moving when we went to Whistler last year.
God.
It was absolutely ridiculous. But we don't have our – I own a snowboard, but I haven't skied or haven't snowboarded in years. But I think that this is the year I'm going to start buying ski gear again, at least starting with boots. I'm a little bit tired of renting them, and you never know how it's going to turn out.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we are going to start skiing with more gear, but that's okay because my kids are – aging out of that age range where we're going to need as much baby gear and car seats. So I think that one is going to replace the other.
That makes sense. Kathleen, how do you do it?
Yeah, so we travel with our own boots, not for the kids. Well, one of my children is 1.5, so he does not wear ski boots yet. Soon, though. By the time he's 2.5. So we don't we travel with boots, and then we usually rent skis.
Mm-hmm.
And we see if they're doing demo days and variety of things. Also kind of maybe time it out so we're only renting for part, or try to get it packaged in. Or we travel with our skis as well. It's usually we do all the skis or none of the skis. Because you might as well just put them all in the same bag.
Mm-hmm,
then there's winter clothes. But, I mean, kids' stuff is pretty small. But I don't know. Somehow it ends up huge.
It does. So I'll tell you my trick. I don't know if they're a big out of North America yet. I don't think they are. But I am a huge sucker for ski butlers. Ski butlers will bring all of the, like,
it's
riddle
like a
gear.
Sherpa.
It's amazing. They bring it to your hotel room because I hate waiting in those super long rental shop lines. And sometimes they are really long. And you've got kids and it's just, you're
I
hot.
Was
it's
in the
crazy.
Poconos, I spent 2 hours
yes.
waiting for gear. It was insane.
It's
for
the
a
worst.
Day trip.
So, ski butlers, look them up. And there's usually some discount codes if you do some online sleuthing, but they bring the gear right to your hotel room. Like, even if it's nap time for your babies or whatever, you can still be getting fitted for your rental gear in your hotel room. And then if anything is wrong, they'll bring you new stuff.
So they bring, like, 10 pairs of boots?
Yes.
Or how does that work?
It is amazing. Oh, wow. They are, like, okay. magic. And it's not really significantly cheaper than going to a rental shop, especially if you can find a discount code somewhere. And so they are my saving grace.
And I'll say, I don't know why I'm bigging up the Vail Marriott so much, but in the basement, they have a rental shop.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay,
it's kind
helps.
Of right on site. And then you keep your stuff there.
Yes, that's true at the Westin Whistler, too. But even still, the line there can be nasty, nasty if you go at the wrong time.
Can you get better deals or better skis if you go to one of the little shops in the village? Or, you know, do you always just go to the main official
I'm
you know,
sure if you're renting off the mountain a little bit, you can probably save some. Mm-hmm. But with kids, I'm not willing to trade off $5 or $10 or whatever the savings is. Like, whatever is the easiest, that is going to win for me with kids every time.
I would take a day off skiing over.
But I just bought our lift tickets for Trumbla online, and it coded as travel, which I was pretty excited to see.
That is really exciting.
So what makes that appealing is that I could use, like, Venture Miles or something and cancel out that charge. Is that typical? Can you use points and miles that way?
I think it really varies. I mean, obviously, some of these cards where you can use your points to wipe out anything, that's amazing. But I don't think that lift tickets consistently post is travel. I think it's real hit and miss, especially when you're buying some of these passes. So I think that's a post we should dig into and do some test purchases.
Oh, absolutely.
Tell Brian we need his credit card.
A season of test purchases.
We'll do some test purchases, TPG ski, because obviously some do, but some don't.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't, maybe they code as entertainment, which would open some options up as well. So we need to dig into that.
I actually made a huge mistake. I used my Freedom Unlimited card at first because I'm like, oh, this isn't going to earn any bonus. I'm going to use my Freedom Unlimited card, but it's in Canada. So I got hit with a $50 foreign transaction fee.
Oh, snap.
But I just called them up. They were really nice about it, and they refunded the charge and then charged my my ultimate Chase Sapphire Reserve card.
And then you earned 3X.
I earned 3X, yeah.
Double win.
So I could use my Venture Miles instead, but I wasn't thinking that far. I'm just like, oh, there's no way this is going to code as travel.
Yeah, because it doesn't always, but that's good to know. We need to test this. Coming soon.
Yeah. So what expenses can people expect in general? Beyond, I mean, if you're using miles for the flight, points for the hotel, you've got the resort fee at some hotels, not Hyatt's, it sounds like.
Yeah. Hyatt's amazing in that
Free
regard,
breakfast.
As is Hilton.
But kind of what budget, what items might you put on the budget for a family ski trip?
The big nasty one is lift tickets and ski school. Ski school it's really, really expensive, at least at these big resorts in North America. I mean, it can be, honest to God, $200 a day or more. It can be more than $200 a day. And that is just a huge budget buster if you are going to be there multiple days and have multiple little ones. But I've tried to avoid it and blown my knee. If you are qualified to teach your kids to ski and you want to do it, go for it. But if you're like me and you're just not qualified for that job, suck it up.
Mm-hmm.
Save money elsewhere and splurge on having the professionals teach your kids.
So I want to end today's episode with the ski trip you're looking forward to most this year. What would you say that is? Let's start with Kathleen.
So I am doing one in Europe. So that is to the Dolomites.
Ooh.
So I'm really excited about that.
Okay, tell us about that. Where
so
are the Dolomites?
Flying into Innsbruck in Austria and then going kind of into Italy to go into the Dolomites. And I'm really excited.
When are you doing that?
So that's going to be mid-January.
Okay.
So taking advantage of the last year before the school vacation year runs my life.
So that's a family trip.
That is just going to be me and one child.
Oh.
So I'm leaving.
Not the 1.5-year-old, I'm guessing.
No, he's staying home with my husband. But we're meeting up with some other friends and their 3-year-old. So the 3-year-olds will go to ski school. And this is one of those mountains that only has blue squares and above.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even know
which
how they do.
Which translates slightly differently in Europe, I have learned.
Good
it
point.
Does.
Yeah.
But I don't even know how they do ski school. I don't even know what language it's in. But they'll figure it out. They will figure it out. Kinder care.
As long as they're feeding the kids pasta at lunch, I think.
Exactly. And looking forward to a 2020 of Whistler.
Yes.
Oh,
that's the big.
Cool. Okay.
Book it early.
Booking it early, watching the flights.
I have to say, spring skiing in Whistler sounds fantastic, but I did it at the end of the season one year, and it was just all slush. So keep that in mind. If you're doing spring skiing, I would book kind of last minute within a week or two. But winters in Whistler are incredible.
They
so
are.
You're going to be in for a treat in 2020. How about you, Summer?
So I have a tie this year. For years and years, I've tried to do a big multi-generational family trip to Colorado because we all love Colorado, but none of us live there. And so this year we were able to rent a huge house for 22 people for so much less than hotel rooms would have cost near Breckenridge. So we are super duper looking forward to that and having all the cousins together skiing. And then also looking forward to trying out the St. Regis Deer Valley while it's just 60,000 points a night.
That is a steal.
I'm so excited. And that's one where I'm going to take both girls, but just us. And that'll be the first time I've skied with both girls without another adult around. So it'll be an adventure, but it should be fun.
So if listeners want to follow along with your ski adventures, where will they find you on social media?
Yes. So I am on Twitter and Instagram at Mommy Points, MOMMY points, all one word.
And Kathleen?
And mine is at Triple Passport.
Triple Passport.
Which
okay.
She really has.
Wait, you have three passports?
I don't, but my children do.
What are their passports?
So my children are British, American, and Norwegian.
Wow. Okay, those passports. Are some lucky kids. The Norwegian passport probably gets them access pretty much anywhere they need visa-free, right?
Yeah, they're pretty, they're doing well.
Okay, they are set up. I only have one passport, but I would kill for two. Three is just, I mean, that's a dream.
It's amazing.
Oh
it sounds
God.
Like.
Lucky kids.
Yeah.
With lots of skiing in their future.
Yes. Well, they, you know, Norwegians are born on skis.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yes.
Love it.
1.5, 2, 3.5, pretty young to be skiing, I think. So
we'll get them out there. One and a half year old can't even walk, but we'll get him on skis.
Well, I wish you guys luck on your ski adventures, your family trips this year, and thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having us, Zach. Hope to ski with you this year. That'd
absolutely.
Be awesome.
That's it for this week's Miles Away. Thanks again to TPG family Summer and Kathleen. Again, I am your host, Zach Honig, and this episode was produced by Caroline Chagrin with editing by Ryan Gabos. Our theme music is by Alex Schiff. If you like this episode, please subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. Tell your friends and check back next Wednesday when we explore St. Helena with one of the most traveled people in the world, Lee Abamante.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.